Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have another amazing program for you today. It's all about how to host the perfect game night. Because these days, the bulk of our entertainment exists on screens, and game nights are more popular than ever. Also, the individual and relationship benefits of game nights are significant. My guest today is Eric Arneson. Eric is a lifelong board game enthusiast and the author of the new book, How to Host a Game Night. Eric says there's more to the perfect game night than choosing between classics like Scrabble and Catan or introducing friends and families to new games. His new book gives you the strategies you need to host an epic game night. For more information about Eric or his new book, please go to ericarneson.com. So welcome to the program, Eric. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Oh, doctor, it's so great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Love the topic, Eric. Now, before we get to how to host a game night, tell us a little bit more about you and how you first got interested in games.
Well, I've been playing games ever since I was a kid. I grew up in the 1970s, so, you know, our game shelf as a family growing up looked probably like a lot of people's did back then, Connect Four, Monopoly, Clue. My dad has a classic version of the board game Risk that it's beautiful. And even before I knew how to play the game, I just wanted to play with the pieces, you know, because they were so...
I love those games, by the way, that you just said, Clue, Monopoly, Risk. I love them.
Yeah, they're classics for a reason, and people are still playing them today for a reason, and the reason is they're good games. And, you know, so that's what got me started was just a childhood of playing games. My parents would host bridge nights with their friends, and I had no idea how to play the card game bridge, but I knew everybody was having an awful lot of fun.
Oh, I love it. And laughter, people getting along, family and friends. So what motivated you then to write the book, How to Host a Game Night? And did you start to write the book before the pandemic? Or when did you start writing it?
Yeah, I started writing the book late last year. And so late 2019, which was months and months before anybody knew that there was going to be a pandemic, certainly way before anybody knew how dramatic the impact of the pandemic would be. And I finished writing it a few months after the pandemic really sort of took hold in the United States. I probably turned in my final copy in May or June of this year. And so it was quite an experience. And the pandemic, you know, certainly changed some of what I was writing. There's a whole chapter in the book about virtual game nights that I hadn't originally planned to include, but it's there now.
Yes, and I like that chapter. We're going to talk more about that chapter because I like it so much, Eric. But why do you think games in general are so popular these days? I know you write about the popularity. What changed? What happened? Why are they so popular?
A couple of things. First of all, as you mentioned earlier, we spend so much time looking at screens. Many of us, obviously not all of us, but many of us look at screens for our jobs. We come home and we look at television screens. In between those things, we're constantly looking at our telephone screens. And I think the very low-tech feel of a board game, although there have been dramatic improvements in gameplay and whatnot, it's still a very low-tech item, really. It's plastic and cardboard for the most part. And I think people like being able to set aside all of the shine and the glare of the screens and just connect with each other around a table like people have been doing for thousands and thousands of years.
I like that. And I know you and I have talked a little bit about the benefits of playing a game with your relationship partner. Talk a little bit more about that. And I love to share as well.
Yeah, and thank you so much for you're included in the book, and you really helped bring the chapter about two-player games to life. There's so much good information in there from you, and I appreciate that. You know, somebody once told me, and I wish I could remember where I heard this, but somebody said the best way to get to know another person is to play a board game with them. You really see sort of their unvarnished self. You'll see how competitive they are. Are they a good winner? Are they a bad winner? Same thing if they lose. Are they a good sport about it or not? And if you play a cooperative game or you're on the same team as somebody else, you know, do they respect your opinion? Do they constantly overrule you and insist that their way is the only right way? Those sorts of things. It's difficult for people, and I'm not entirely sure why this is, but I see it over and over again. It's difficult for people to sort of hide their true selves when they're playing board games.
And I like that. So for all the singles listening then, Eric, it's a great way to know if that relationship partner is good or right for you. So play a board game, play a game with them, you know, virtually even on a date, and see how they get along with you. Like you said, are they competitive? Are they cooperative? Do they listen to your point of view? What are they like? How do they handle stress? I love that suggestion. And for couples, I'm constantly talking about, and I know we've talked about this as well, Eric, that people are so serious in their long-term romantic relationships, and it's a great way to get to know a partner again, but it's also so important to have laughter and personal growth and enjoy your relationship partner as well. And so games provide that vehicle or venue to do that, right?
Exactly right. And tying back into your question about why games are so popular today, one of the reasons is that there are so many different kinds of games. So if you and your partner like strategy games, deep, thinky, you know, brain-burning sorts of games, there are plenty of those. But if you want to laugh, if you want to have fun, which, as you said, is so important, there are plenty of laugh-out-loud party games. Exciting cooperative games where you're on an adventure together. So many great choices today, and you can really hit a number of different elements of a relationship by playing different types of games.
Well, let's start with that then, because that's so intriguing and interesting to me with the two-player game nights. And let's say you do have a romantic partner and you're dating, or even if you're a couple and you're living together now during the pandemic, or even with a good friend. What do I need to think about if I want to prepare for a game night with myself and my romantic partner?
I think the first thing is to have a sense of the kind of game that both people are likely to enjoy. You know, if somebody's idea of a great game night is spending 15 minutes, 20 minutes playing Yahtzee, that's terrific. I love Yahtzee. It's a wonderful game. But if the other person is in charge and they bring something to the table that you know, is a two-hour strategy game with a 32-page rule book, that game night isn't going to go very well. So you've got to be on the same page in terms of the type of game as the starting point.
And would you suggest a cooperative game or a competitive game when I'm starting out playing these games with my romantic partner?
You know, I'd suggest a cooperative game. It's a genre that a lot of people still aren't really familiar with, but there are tremendously fun and exciting cooperative games today. Forbidden Island, for example, is a game where you're on an island together, you're working together to rescue four precious artifacts, but the island is sinking. And you have to rescue these artifacts and get back to your helicopter before the island sinks. And it works great with two players, and it's a cooperative game that's always tense and exciting. But when you win, you know, just that feeling of reaching across the table and giving each other a high five is just fantastic.
Oh, I love that. That sounds great. And by the way, Eric, studies show that when you and a romantic partner have a goal that you try to achieve together, either like in Forbidden Island or a puzzle or you grow a garden together, that that increases not only intimacy and bonding, but passion between you and your partner. So, you know, that's a great game to do with a romantic partner. The outcomes are amazing for your relationship. Other specific games that you would recommend for two people?
Sure. If you enjoy word games, there's one called Codenames Duet, and it's one partner. There's 25 words are set out on the table in a 5x5 grid. One partner gives a clue to the other partner, trying to get them to guess specific words. And it, again, it's a team game, a cooperative game. You're both on the same team, and the better you do, the further you advance in the game. And my description of it there probably doesn't do it justice, but it is phenomenally fun. So Codenames Duet is another one. And speaking of puzzles, if you like escape room puzzles, there's a series of games called Exit. Exit the Game, and then there are at least a dozen in this series by now. And they really create that escape room experience at home. And there are other similar games, but I think the Exit series is the most consistently good of them. And so if you like escape rooms, look for Exit the Game.
I like those two suggestions. So Codenames Duet, and then if you like escape rooms, which I do love, Exit the Game. Those are great suggestions, Eric. Thank you. Now, what about larger game nights or even extra large game nights, as you talk about in your book? What do we have to think about? And if we're planning a party, let's say, for 20, 25 people, virtual party, what are some things that we need to remember or think about?
Sure. Well, you know, we're obviously living in the times where we're in with the pandemic. Hosting an in-person group that big is less likely to happen these days. But you're right, virtual game nights are terrific, and you can have a very large group on there, and it can work on Zoom or whatever system you use. But the key on a virtual game night to me is choosing a game that's pretty simple, because if you choose a game that has, you know, for example, cards that have small icons on them that people need to look at and understand, it just doesn't work. So you probably want to find a party game, maybe something like Scattergories or something like Pictionary. One of the classic party games can work well. There's a new one out, speaking of cooperative games, called Just One, and it is something I didn't think I'd ever see, but it's a cooperative party game that makes people roll over laughing all the time. It's a word-based game, Just One, and it works tremendously well for large groups over Zoom. It's wonderful. So large gatherings, and this is true even in person, but especially if you're doing it virtually, and you want everybody to play the same game, keep it pretty simple.
And if I did want to use one of those games like Just One, can I just Google it to find what it's about? Is that what I do?
Absolutely. You know, the number of games being published today is really off the charts. It's thousands of brand new board games and card games coming out every year. So it's impossible to keep up with them all, but if you Google Just One board game, you're going to find it. There's also a great website called BoardGameGeek.com, which is a database of games. Users rank them. It's like Internet Movie Database, except for games. So BoardGameGeek.com is a great resource, too.
Oh, that's helpful. Thank you. And I know you talk about if you're going to have a larger game night or an extra large game night, that you have to be careful about who you invite and whether or not the people get along. Share with us some of those ideas that you have to think about as well.
Absolutely right. It goes back a little bit to what we said before. You want everybody to expect and enjoy the same kinds of games, but the more people you have, the more chance that they have outside relationships outside of game night, right? And so you just need to be sensitive to that and make sure that you're not inviting people whose mere presence will ruin game night for somebody else. It doesn't matter whose fault anything is in those circumstances. Bringing that kind of tension into a game night is a problem. And to the extent you can avoid it by making sure your invitation list is properly tuned, that's a good thing.
I like that. So thinking about the video service is really important. Thinking about the game is really important and who I invite. What about the food? I know you talk about food for game nights as well.
Absolutely. Nothing goes together for me quite like games and food. And I love a potluck. I've always loved potlucks, so I think that's a great way to go. But you do need to be careful. As I said before, the basic element of board games is cardboard and paper. So you want to make sure that people are not eating foods that have a high likelihood of winding up on the game. A meatball sandwich is one of my favorites, but it's probably not best at the game table.
I like that. And when we're thinking about a virtual game night with a large group of people, should people be eating and playing at the same time, or it really doesn't matter?
Doesn't really matter so much. One of the things you need to watch for with a virtual game night is that it's so easy to get distracted. And you don't want a game that would take, 30 minutes in person to take 60 minutes just because you've moved to a virtual setting, because everybody will wind up getting bored. So just be cautious of that. A gentle reminder to folks that, it's game night now, we're playing the game, is usually enough to take care of that kind of thing. But in terms of food, whatever people want to do is absolutely fine.
And I know that that's a helpful suggestion or tip because many people, as the holidays are coming up, are thinking about connecting with their family in different states or countries, and they're thinking about a virtual game night. And so, should people have food? How do they get people not to be distracted? What kinds of games they need to play? So those are all really important suggestions and tips. Now, you have an entire chapter in your book, Eric, on themed game nights, and I love that idea. So tell us more about themed game nights.
Sure. One of the wonderful side effects of the fact that thousands of games are being published every year is that you can mix and match themes to whatever extent you want. So it's very easy, for example, to put together a game night centered on police games or detective games. You could start with a game called Sherlock Holmes Consulting Detective, which is exactly what it sounds like it would be. The players are helping Sherlock Holmes solve a crime. Then there's a more modern game called Chronicles of Crime, which actually very creatively incorporates smartphone technology. Many of the components in that game, the cards and the board, have QR codes, and those are used in the game to help you solve the crime. And so putting together themes like that is a great way to make your game night much more memorable, something that people are going to be talking about for a long time to come.
I like that. That is so fun. Are the holidays at your house, Eric, fun? Do you always have games that people are playing, whether it's now during the pandemic or before? I mean, it must just be so fun at your house.
Well, I hope so. We always get together with our family, and My niece and nephew are one just graduated college, the other's still in college, but basically their entire lives we've been giving them games every year, and we always play those games on Christmas. We get together again at New Year's and do that. Game nights, game days, just such a wonderful way to spend time with family. And I think we all are aware that there are some family members who don't really take to game nights or playing board games that well, and I think it's important to remember that that's okay. Not everybody's going to like the same things. Not everybody's going to want to play a board game, and if you push it on them, it's probably not going to turn out well. I think that's when you're more likely to get people who are, maybe upset about the fact that the wild four in Uno just got played on them and things like that.
So it's okay if you suggest people play a game and not everybody participates or not everybody is as into it as you might be. That's a helpful suggestion, especially over the holidays. Now, I know that there are what you call small game conventions as well, and I'm sure, you talk about that in your book. Tell us a little bit about those conventions and how they work. I had no idea that they existed.
They are some of my favorites. They happen all over the country. Obviously not right now, but hopefully will be happening again soon. And it can be anywhere from 40 people to about 100, 125 people, I would put in this category. And some of them are open to the public. Some of them are just large groups of friends that get together. And it's a wonderful time. People tend to bring games, put them on tables that sort of line the outside wall of the room. Typically, you're in a hotel conference room of some sort for the day that you've rented out, and people get together and just enjoy playing games. For a lot of these small game conventions, it's a time where friends reconnect, and it might be friends that you made last year at the convention, and you might only see them once or twice a year, but I think those friendships are valuable and important, and small game conventions are a great way to build long-term relationships. Through this pandemic, my wife and I have been playing online trivia games every Sunday night with a group of about 8 to 10 friends who we met exactly that way at small game conventions.
How fun. And those friendships, relationships last for so long because, as you said at the beginning, it's such a wonderful way for people to get to know one another. Now, we only have 3 minutes left. If there's one message that you want people to take away from today's program, Eric, what might it be?
I think the message is that playing board games is not just fun in and of itself, which is probably reason enough to do it. But the benefits of playing board games in building relationships, in building those connections that we've been talking about, is really much, much more than a lot of other forms of entertainment. I love watching Star Wars, and my nephew and I talk about Star Wars all the time, but playing a Star Wars-themed board game with him, where we're taking on those characters, and we're having our own adventure inside the Star Wars universe, that takes it to a whole nother level. So I think that I'd encourage folks, even if you don't think you like board games, take a look. There are so many new games out there and so many wonderfully creative games, that there's probably something you would enjoy.
I agree, and such a good way and a positive way to connect with other people. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Eric. What a pleasure talking to you.
Doctor, this has been terrific. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. And again, listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Eric Arneson or his new book, How to Host a Game Night, please go to Eric Arneson, Arneson. .com. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.